Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Founders Crit, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today, we have Steven, a serial entrepreneur. Steven is currently onto his fourth company, being impactproduct.com. And prior to this, Steven has co-founded Validately, iReef, both have been successful exits. Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been up to before Impact Product.
Yeah, I'm a four-time entrepreneur. This is my fourth company. I started and sold three other companies before that. I've worked on several companies. I've gone from zero to over 100 million of revenue in under 3 years. So I've been a part of kind of fast growth, early stage companies for a while. And wife, two children, two boys, 8 and 11.
Nice. So do you want to discuss any of your previous companies? Of maybe the last one, you know, what was it like from?
Yes, my last company
to the exit, you know, something.
Yeah, my last company was a company called Validately. It was user research and testing. I came to that company actually start that company. So my quick history: my first company bootstrapped. You know, we raised a little bit of angel money, but mostly bootstrapped. Never kind of a VC in there, and you know, built it up and had a successful exit. Even though we ran kind of right into the 2008, late 2008, early 2009 financial crisis, and then I started another company. That was, frankly, we sold it, but it was frankly a failure. It was my second company. It's called iRive. It's a travel consumer product company. And as I was doing kind of a post-op after the sale of like why it didn't work out and why we got kind of like false negatives, I came to kind of realize that the best product companies in the world do extensive amount of user research and user testing, rapid prototype testing, constantly talking to customers, iterating. We didn't do that really with my company, my second company. So I reached out to a bunch of other companies, great product companies, and said, how do you guys do this now? And they described a very long, laborious process, very tedious, time consuming, et cetera. And it just felt like a great opportunity to solve a problem and, improve, you know, product, development. And so we started Validately to do that, to literally make it easier to do user research and prototype testing faster, quicker. Very product-focused team. For a while, it was two of us in New York City working out of an apartment, and two awesome developers based in Poland. And so it was just the four of us for a little while. We kind of built a company out of ashes and grew it. We became cash flow positive. We're growing over 100% year over year while being cash flow positive. Wow. And competitors started reaching out to me saying, hey, you guys have a great product. We'd like to buy your company. We kept saying no. But finally, user Zoom stepped up and gave us a good price. And so we sold the company in June of 2019. You know, it's a great company, user Zoom. It was not really a role for me as a founder there. So the whole team's there. They're doing great. But I left at the end of last year, 2019. Yeah. And I'm doing what I love, which is I'm starting a new company.
Oh, nice. So when are you launching Impact Product?
So Impact Product is live. I don't really believe in kind of launches. I believe in putting product out there, talking to customers, constantly iterating, learning, mm-hmm. iterating, learning, iterating. I don't believe in like big kind of like launch events. Okay. I think that that's mostly, you know, marketing. But I think I'm a very product focused founder. It's just kind of like this constant you know, evolution of the product. And we just keep going after, you know, reaching out to customers saying, hey, this is what we're doing. Is this compelling to you? Can you get you into a trial, try the product, get response, learns, you know, measure what they're doing with the product and then talk to them, do a lot of user research.
Got it. So, and So in COVID times, so since you don't believe in the big launches, so I'm assuming you would be launching it remotely through online and everything. So for other SaaS companies, you know, in COVID times, or in general, you know, what are the growth hacks that you adopt? What's the secret sauce? Launch a product hunt, find users on Facebook or cold emails, or it's something different from that?
Yeah. You know, I'm really kind of boring when it comes to this question. I get this a lot. I just believe that the greatest growth hack is just building a great product. I just think that, like, at the end of the day, if you understand your core persona, what need you're solving, pretty much if you work in an industry, you know, others who work in that same industry, or you're part of Slack groups or email chains or whatever it is in that same industry. And if you build a great product that makes people's lives better, or, you know, their jobs better, or they enjoy using, you'll get word of mouth. There's NPS scores and stuff like that to kind of measure that. But really, I just think that if you focus on the customer, then you build a great product. And, you know, there's certainly, I do believe in the value of content marketing. So just creating content around your subject area to help things that people are interested in. And that could create virality and spreading kind of awareness, top of the funnel awareness of it. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, there's no substitute for just building a great product that customers love by really deeply understanding the need that you're solving, the day in the life of the user, what challenges they have, making sure you understand them deeply, and then designing elegant solutions to solve them.
So was your last company bootstrapped or VC funded before the exit, or?
Yeah, we raised a, you know, decent amount of a seed round from a professional.
Round till exit, no series A or B in between.
We never raised an A round. We turned down, we got cash flow positive.
Yeah.
We actually turned down a term sheet for an A round.
Yeah. So you seem like a founder who believes in making the company cash flow positive instead of running after the VC money. And this is what all the VCs are encouraging all the companies to adopt these days, right?
Look, I think there's a time and a place for, you know, all the different models. There are some models that are very cash flow intensive, and they're trying to build this massive unicorn that requires huge amounts of capital. You know, good for them. That's for them. There's also something to be said about, you know, controlling your own destiny and building a great product, growing on cash flow. You know, there's a lot of great companies who have done that. There's a lot of, you know, great examples of companies that grew very, very big and very, very, you know, well, but they were able to, you know, MailChimp's a great example of a company like that. You know, they're just not VC funded. They just continued to grow, very, very, the Australian company that, Jira, that builds Jira.
Yeah.
The names escape the parent company, but the Jira, you know, they grew from Australia without any VC funding until very much later, you know, kind of they raised a round right before their IPO. There's a lot of great companies that are focused on, growing the company and don't require a tremendous amount of capital. And so there's different models, you know.
Yeah. So last question, you know, because we keep our podcast between 8 to 10 minutes, right? So going forward, you know, what three pieces of advice or 3 to 5 pieces of advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are just starting out, you know, and especially factoring in the life, the world post-COVID? So what industries should they focus on, the approach from whether to go for a funding company or not, you know, three to five pieces of advice to founders.
Yeah. I mean, I actually spend a fair amount of time talking to and mentoring early stage entrepreneurs. And I think, you know, almost all the conversations I have with early stage entrepreneurs, they make the same mistake, which is that they believe too deeply in that they've that they have the right solution before they truly understand the problem. They're in such a rush to build something. They're in such a rush to write code before they truly understand, you know, the problem that they're solving. And so I always tell them, listen, just slow down. You know, if you dig into the problem, you try to understand the problem at a much deeper level. You'll find that you can actually build really, very quickly that way. But you're very, very focused. You know, so with my new company, Impact Product, we spent, I spent 6 months doing customer research, talking to, you know, nearly 100 potential customers, interviewing them, understanding the problem. Why does this exist? How is important? How important is it? And prototyping, you know, testing prototypes, et cetera. And then we started building, and everyone was like, wow, you got that first version out really, really quickly. I'm like, yeah, but we knew what we were building, you know, because we did a lot of research up front. We understood the problem. We were very, very focused. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing where I see customers. If you talk, new entrepreneurs. So if you talk to them, it's clear they don't really understand the problem, why the problem exists.
Yeah.
And I think that's what ends up killing them.
So thank you so much, Stephen. Thank you so much for being on the show. Very valuable insights. Stay safe and all the best with Impact Product, and good luck with the next exit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.